Welcome to the Voice of the Valley. I'm Dan Curtis. Recently, two church congregations in the Gila Valley united together. Restoration Fellowship united with the church at Safford. Pastor Ron Gonzalez is here today to talk about the challenges of uniting two church congregations and the process they followed to accomplish it. Stay tuned as Pastor Ron tells the story and the challenges they faced. I'm talking today with Pastor Ron Gonzalez, and I would say which church you're from, but that's sort of in process of changing, right? Uniting two church congregations.
We've united, but yes, it's two churches that have come together.
So let's start with your background. You started off in the Church of Safford, right?
Yes, that began way back on April 27th of 1975. I was a junior in high school in Morenci. My parents were saved. They were born again just maybe about a month and a half before me. And my mother was inviting me to church. And they were coming to church at Safford at the time from Morenci. And so that weekend, I did come with them. And it was at the church at Safford on that date, April 27th, 1975, that I was born again, that I received Christ as my personal Savior, received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and that began my journey.
So tell us a little bit about that, because since then you've become a pastor. What's your progression from that day in April to becoming a pastor?
Well, there are four men, four pastors and their wives, I would say, that are very instrumental in my life that brought me to this point. I don't want to exclude my wife. My wife is so instrumental in ministry from day one. We have different gifts, but they come together, and I'll tell you, she's been just incredible in ministry to me. But four men, pastors and their wives. The first, of course, was Pastor Dale. And his wife Gail, they are the ones that I came into salvation with. And I was at the church at Safford for a little while, actually working with youth. And then from there, I went over to the First Southern Baptist Church. That's where I met my wife. And we were married. And the same year we were married, I was also licensed to preach. And under that license, I preached all over the Gila Valley. In churches all over, when churches were without a pastor or needed a pastor. I also preached in Greenlee County, Duncan, Clifton, Morenci. And so I really had a lot of experience in that area under that ministry. And it was also under, my father-in-law was a pastor, and so it was under Pastor Sherman Lawson and his wife Willie that I was also later ordained locally. But after that experience, when the mine shut down in 82 with the strike, we moved to Mesa, and that was another strategic time in my life, because at that time we started attending the Assemblies of God Church in Mesa, Mesa First Assembly, and the pastor there, Pastor Ben Leonard and his wife Alice, they were very instrumental in my life. Pastor Ben released me into ministry. At one time, I was carrying seven portfolios. My main portfolio was youth, but I also did evangelism. I did home fellowships. For a while, I did singles ministry, just several ministries that I came into that really, I call that cutting my teeth, so to speak. Also experienced mission trips, was sending youth all over the world in missions. Myself, I led teams to Costa Rica. My wife went with me. My son, at 8 years old, went with me to Costa Rica also. And that's really where I cut my teeth in ministry. And one other couple in my life was Paul and Arta Link. They were from the church at Safford. And they were going up to Morenci when I was still in high school, and they were teaching Bible studies Tuesdays and Thursday nights. And I sat under his teaching, and that's where I was really discipled. So all these really had an impact in my life. And after we were done in Mesa, we moved back to Safford, and my father-in-law was pastoring the church here. At that time, it was with the Church of the United Brethren in Christ, which is the oldest U.S.-born denomination in the country. Hmm. And my father-in-law was moving to Texas to pastor a church over there. So he turned the church over to me. The church received me as pastor, so I began pastoring Open Bible Fellowship here. So at that time, it was just incredible. God was doing amazing things. We purchased new property, moved into new property, and was doing just incredible things were happening. But then the bishop of the denomination asked me to move to Ohio to help a church that was struggling up there. So after a lot of prayer and first some refusals and denials, then we finally felt like it really was the Lord. So we moved up to Ohio and we helped the church up there purchase property, move into their own property because they had been in a gymnasium for 10 years. We were there very short time and we moved back to Safford. And we started a church here called Restoration Fellowship. We didn't come with the intentions of starting a church. We came with the intentions of stepping into a church and working with an existing church. But we had people that came to us asking us if we would start one. And we started a Bible study. It just started as a Bible study. But it grew and grew. And so with the growth, we had to establish something. So we established it as Restoration Fellowship, got legal with the state and everything. And that's where we have been, Restoration Fellowship, until Pastor Dale called me one day and he asked me if I would consider taking over the pastorate at the Church of Safford, which is really the third time that we are addressing this particular thing.
That you've had conversations with Pastor Dale about?
Yes.
Taking. When did that first start?
The first time it started was actually before we moved back from Ohio. I received a call from Pastor Dale, and he asked me if I would consider coming back. He knew I was coming back, if I would come back to help with the church and move into the pastorate. So we talked about it. When we returned back to Safford, we spoke about it and really were looking at all the ramifications of it, and it didn't materialize at that time. Mm-hmm. And so that's when we had our Bible study coming back from Ohio, and it developed into a church, so we kind of left it alone. Then later on, we spoke about it again, and we actually tried it at that time to come over, and it just wasn't, the timing wasn't right. Things were not in alignment, so to speak. And so we asked to be released, and we were released. And
but now, so you were actually pastoring there?
And wasn't pastoring. I was there and I was helping to preach, but not preaching every Sunday. Okay. We were trying to work out the details and see how it would materialize. But it just, the timing, there's timing involved, right. There's alignment things. There's a lot of things that go into bringing two fellowships together, uniting them together. And I think we were a little bit of ahead of the game. And so we kind of left it alone again until this time, and now we've actually come together.
So let's talk about this process. How do you break the news to your congregation at Restoration Fellowship? That you're going to, and vice versa, at Church at Safford, that you're going to combine, or that you're going to unite?
Well, the first thing I had to do was go to our board and talk to our board and let them know what was requested. Mm-hmm. And we spoke about that freely and openly, and the atmosphere in that board meeting was very positive. People were excited. The board members were excited about this. They believed this is what God has wanted for a long time. And the same thing was true with Church at Safford. There were a lot of people that felt like this was really what the Lord wanted. So I first talked to our board. They were very much in favor of it. So the next step was presenting it to the congregation. And I shared it with the congregation, and they were very excited about it. It surprised me a little bit. I thought there might be a little bit of pushback. But overall, the excitement was there, the enthusiasm, the positive mindset was there. And it was pretty much with Church at Safford as well. So the things that might have prevented us before, the mindsets were changed and things were moving in a much quicker fashion.
Hmm. So how does that work? Did you just break this news from the pulpit, so to speak?
I broke it from the pulpit. I said, I have an announcement I need to make to you. And I shared the discussions that I had with Pastor Dale and how we felt like this was what God has wanted all along, and this was the right time, timing and time. And I also shared with them the response from the board. I also had some of the board members come up and have them share with the congregation their feelings about it. So the congregation was able to see that the leadership of the church with the pastor and the board were in alignment, were in agreement, excuse me. And from there, we moved forward, and the congregation was very receptive, and they wanted to go forward with this. And so from there, it moved like lightning, so to speak.
So you make this announcement. When did you actually unite and combine the congregations together?
Our first Sunday was December 15th. We were speaking of this in November.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, and I've studied this before, I've read books on churches uniting, coming together. Normally, it takes months to up to a year, depending on the sizes of the congregations and all the ramifications that go along with it. For us, it normally should have taken several months. This took about 5-6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We already had things planned as Restoration Fellowship because we were coming into the Christmas season. We said, let us get these things out of the way. Let us finish up what we have on our schedule with the congregation. And so we determined that December 15th, we would be free and clear from our obligations and the things we had planned. And we decided that December 15th would be the Sunday we come together, which is really, if you look at it book-wise and statistically, is the worst time to do it. and that's what we did.
The holiday season, yeah, that's a busy time of year.
The holiday season, people are not looking for change at that time. They're not looking to change anything in their lives personally, spiritually, congregationally, and yet that's what we did. So we broke all the rules, basically, when we're talking about this coming together. If I would have planned the time, it would have been either after the first of the year or when school would start, because those are times that people are expecting new things. And so you can slip things in like this that are major. So it wouldn't have been my timing, but it definitely was God's.
So has there been any pushback from either congregations? Has there been dissension on
you know,
this?
We haven't had any.
That's surprising.
That's the incredible thing about this. When it's right timing, when it's the right time and right timing, things flow and things can transition. And that's what we were praying for, that when it's the right time and the right timing, then not just the leadership, but the congregations would be ready.
Mm-hmm.
And we were so well received when we actually made the transition and we had our first service at Church at Safford. We were, in one sense, quote-unquote, the visiting people.
Yeah.
And we were greeted by the host people very warmly. And we were so well received, and it was just an incredible first service that we had there. The house was packed, and people were excited about it, and people received the word. It was just a really good first service that we had together.
So this is a bigger shakeup for your congregation than for the Church of Safford, the existing congregation, I would think, because they're actually going to move, you know, from basically their comfort zone into this whole new building where there's already people there. And when you had that first service, were you, both you and Pastor Dale there? I mean, how did you handle the service?
Yes, we were both there. Pastor Dale actually turned over all the reins to me. He stepped down as senior pastor. They also absolved their board. They dissolved their board and allowed me to set up a new board of a mix of congregants from both churches. And so we have a brand new board. And on that first Sunday, I was already the pastor. I was already approved by the board to be the pastor. And so Pastor Dale was there. He was there in support, in full support of it. But I was the one that led the entire service.
Hmm. So how do you come up with a new board when you unite two congregations? I mean,
a lot of prayer.
That seems like it could be a touchy subject for some people.
Normally it would have been. again, when you're looking at things in the natural, this would have been a long process, but because this was such a short and speedy process, and everybody's hearts were moving in this direction, there was absolutely no conflict, not a single evidence of any conflict. There was a willingness from both boards to let go and let God, so to speak. And so, when all this took place, the Church at Safford board was so willing to lend themselves to trust what God was doing in this, that it was more than man doing it. And so it came together in a way that was just absolutely unbelievable in the natural. So all these things to me were evidences that God was truly in this. So they asked me who I wanted to have on the board. And I spent time in prayer on this. We meet every Friday morning at 7 o'clock in the morning for prayer, me and other intercessors, people who come together to pray. And so it was a matter of prayer during those weeks of how this is going to happen. And that was one of our prayer points, that God would establish the people on the board that needed to be on the board. And the ones that we asked were willing, and the ones that we asked to go off the board were willing. And there was absolutely no conflict in any of the process.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
It is amazing.
So where do you go from here? What's your outlook? And I keep gonna ask you, how big is the congregation now?
Our first Sunday there, we had somewhere around 200. We lost count simply because of the influx. We were still in adjusting measures. People are getting used to it and all. We are running somewhere around the 150 mark. Of course, this was over the holiday season, and so people were out of town, people were leaving town, couldn't make it to church for various reasons. So we had that first service of around 200 or so. Some thought it was closer to 220 or so. And then it dropped down because of, again, we were in the holiday season, the quote-unquote wrong time to do this. But now that we're past the holiday season, we're seeing it increase again. So we've yet to see levels. Uh-huh. We've yet to see a lot of things because we've only done this for 4 weeks. And we're still in that transition period, but things are going very well.
So what's your outlook? I mean, what are you envisioning for the future now? You're in a much bigger facility than you've been in.
Yes. We went from a closet to basically just a mansion. I am so indebted and thankful for Pastor Dale and the vision that he had over the 50 or so years that he pastored. I believe it was over 50 years. He started with one portion of the property, and they converted the living room and area into the sanctuary. And then they built the sanctuary itself. Then they added a school. And then they built the gymnasium for the school. And there's still 5 more acres on the other side of the gymnasium that can be developed. But Pastor Dale's vision was so incredible. I feel blessed. I feel honored. I also feel very humbled by being the pastor there. We talked about this before, but I've come full circle. The church that I was saved in, the church that I gave my life to the Lord in on April 27, 1975, is the church I'm now pastoring. And I just owe so much to Pastor Dale. I owe so much to all these that I mentioned earlier, because every one of them had such an influence in my life to even bring me to the place where I could even pastor in this facility, in this community, with what is available. So as far as vision, we're developing it. We have people that are excited about it. We're developing new youth ministry. We're starting up 2 other new ministries this month and next month. We're also looking at ministry to the valley. We've already had one call come in. I'm expecting others, but we've already had one call come in from the community that have asked us if they could use facilities. This is for a basketball league. Mm. And so we're looking at wanting to partner with the community. We want to be a church that impacts this valley in a positive way, in whatever way that God would allow us to. So we're still in the process of developing vision. We're in the property now. We see what's available. And now we're asking God to give us the vision that would match and exceed what's there currently.
What I think is amazing about this story, when we talked about doing this, is the fact that this is where you started out.
Yes.
You, as far as I can tell, didn't have any aspirations of coming back, but through just the normal facts of life, here you are back where you started. And
you know, God leads us in ways that we don't always see or understand. And we see glimpses of it. God sees the whole picture. And I didn't see this all my years in ministry from the time I was saved. Never thought that I would be pastoring at Church at Safford. And it wasn't until Pastor Dale approached me that this became a seed. And a seed has to germinate. A seed has to take time to germinate, and all that is underground. If you look at a natural seed, the beginnings of growth are invisible to us because it's all happening in a hidden place. And so this really was happened in a hidden place for several years before we saw the shoot sprout out on December 15th. I asked the Lord about this because, again, this, like we said, this is the third time. And the third time we were successful in really making this transition. So I had to ask the Lord, why did it not happen the first two times? Are we right in doing this a third time? And I asked the Lord to show me in the scriptures what could confirm this. And the Lord reminded me of an instance that took place in the book of Judges, chapters 19 and 20. The Benjamites had done something very evil, very sinful in chapter 19. The Benjamites were part of the Israelite family, the clan, so to speak. And so the rest of the Israelites wanted to punish them for it, to attack them. So the first time they went to the Lord, they went to the Lord first, but they said, "Who shall go for us first?" And the Lord said, "Judah." So God sent them out with Judah leading the way, but they were defeated. So they come back to God. And this time they said, "Do you want us to do it again?" And the Lord said, "Go out again." So they went out a second time and were defeated again. The third time they come back, the Bible says they returned to the Lord with weeping, with fasting, and with offerings, sacrificial offerings. In other words, they were broken. They were willing to say, "God, if you want to do this, it's got to be you." The first two times, they weren't in alignment with him. The first two times, they weren't in that position to really do it God's way. But the third time, they were, because they were broken. And that time, the Lord said, "Go, because this time I'll deliver them. Tomorrow, I will deliver them into your hands." And the third time, they were successful. So for us, I felt like the Lord was speaking to me about it and saying the first two times, we weren't in alignment. It was still his will, but he was showing us that things were needing to change in order for this to succeed. I believe that's true in so many things. Whether it's a single church or multiple churches trying to do things together, there needs to be an alignment, and there needs to be humility. There needs to be brokenness. And so that's one of the things I encouraged our congregation to do, that we were to go with humility, we were to go with gentleness, we were to go with love and caring, and not be those that come in and say, "Hey, we're here to take over." But we were coming in to join with another congregation to unite. And we talked about this, but I like the word uniting much more than merging. Merge, I don't like to use the word merge. that's business-like. This is spiritual. And so God brought us together, united us, after allowing us to have to weed out things and to let some things dissipate in order for our hearts to be ready. So that was the process that I saw spiritually.
Well, thanks for being with us and sharing this. It's an interesting story.
It's been exciting for us. It's been exciting on every level. It's been exciting spiritually. It's been exciting emotionally, mentally, even physically. There's been a lot of work involved, and we're still in the process. We're still working on things, but it's been great, and I appreciate you having me on today, Dan.
Well, thanks again.